Something that's been on my mind a lot lately is work. And I think that's because so much work is going on at MZMC these days. And it's been quite a week. Long days, working with a lot of folks from the Sangha in person on a joyful project, bringing order to chaos, or at least some semblance or illusion of order. And it's been a great week. It feels kind of like Sesshin for me, except it's all work practice, just all work practice. And there's more talking than in a Sesshin. But the same kind of focused energy is emerging from that. And I think I can truthfully say it's been one of the more exciting weeks of my life. As most of you know, we've been closed down for 16 months or so due to COVID and also due to our construction project. And the construction was basically completed on Wednesday. That's when the construction workers left the building for the most part. And now we're in the middle of a very short window where we're preparing to practice live and in person. So we're putting everything back together. And we're also preparing to send it all out on Zoom for those folks who are far away or who are not ready to come back to the building yet. And there's been a lot to do, and a lot still remains. And when we have our first Sunday event in the new space, 1 week from today, there will be a lot that is unfinished and uncompleted. But that's because we wanted to get people back in the building practicing together as soon as possible. We didn't want to put it off for a month or two while we made everything perfect and then invite folks in. And I think this will be fun because every time you come back, you'll probably see some progress over the next few weeks. So, yeah, lots of hard work in the building has been going on. And I've talked about Zen and work before over the years, and it's always been a good topic because most folks at one time or another ask, how can I bring Zen practice to my job? That's kind of hard to do. It's one of the hardest things to do, maybe, to bring this calm, quiet practice to that world of chaos that we call work. And work has changed a lot over the last year and a half. Many of you are still working from home and may continue to do that. And if I were going to do another general talk on Zen and work, I'd really have to rethink a lot of stuff and think about, well, how do we bring Zen practice to Zoom meetings, for instance? And that's a good question. But the track I'd like to take this morning to kind of get to that question of Zen on the job is to talk about this MZMC work that I mentioned. I'm going to talk about the jobs we've done recently because it gives me a real sense of joy to talk about them, how we work together as a community. And also, secondarily, this is the second most important thing, it's fun to talk about all we've accomplished. But first, I'm going to talk about four principles from a book called Awake at Work, which was written by Michael Carroll. He's a Tibetan Buddhist. And I'm going to see if those principles apply to our volunteer work at MZMC. So the book is called Awake at Work, 35 Practical Buddhist Principles for Discovering Clarity and Balance in the Midst of Work's Chaos. So, Tibetan Buddhists often use slogans, and he begins the book with the four primary slogans, and I think they're quite good. So, I'm going to tell you what those four primary slogans are. And the first one is called Balance the Two Efforts. And the two efforts he's talking about here, if I may simplify it just a bit, are our effort to get somewhere and our effort to be somewhere. he talks about his memory of the first time he rode a bicycle when he was very little. And his father would push him on the bicycle and hold him upright. And they did that for a long time. And eventually he got to the point one day where he was really moving. And he thought, wow, my dad must be running really fast behind me. And eventually he looked back and saw his dad was way in the distance, that he had for the first time achieved that balance on his own. So the first time he let go of his fears and his ideas about what he was trying to do and how to be able to do it, and he was trusting himself to be fully in the moment. He had let go of his thoughts of getting somewhere, like I need to learn a bike, and he had fully entered into being somewhere. He was just riding. He was not thinking about how to ride. And this is a lot like some things I mentioned in my last talk, which was about effort and results. I talked about how goals are important, but to be really happy and effective, we need at some point to just let go of the goals and give ourselves to the moment. And Michael Carroll applies this idea to work. And of course, it's very easy to get goal-oriented at work. It's set up that way. We might have production quotas or deadlines. We have measurable expectations. We get promotions if we do the right thing. And of course, we need to pay attention to those things. But if we have them on our mind all the time, we'll never be able to fully give ourselves to the task at hand. And that would be a little bit like an Olympian athlete. At the moment that they're running their race or doing their gymnastics routine or something like that, thinking, I've got to get that gold medal, I'm guessing that they can't afford to do that. That 100% of their effort has to go into right where they are. Otherwise, it could slow them down or they could be injured. And we learn to do this to be fully present in sitting meditation, Carroll says. And if we give ourselves to that, we may see how that then enters more into our daily lives. And of course, this applies to our work in the building. We do have goals and they are very, very important. We have to be ready by August 7th and 8th because we've announced it. We have to be ready. And yet we can hold it lightly and we must, I must. If I just think deadline, 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 I'll get all tense and I won't be effective. And that'll probably make everyone uneasy. I can't just appear to hold it lightly. I really do need to hold it lightly. And I need to do that even in the midst of great complications. And the complications are there. The list of volunteers, the ever-changing list of jobs to do, the adjustment I have to make at each work period between the list and the realities of the situation that emerges. In the midst of all that, I need to come back to what I'm doing. So when I water the new grass, which is starting to germinate nicely, by the way, I need to just be there. Or when I remove some dust, or when I give someone some instructions. And I have a lot of details in my head. Sometimes they kind of take over. I forgive myself for that. And I gently try to come back to the moment. And I think as a group, we've done really well. I don't think there's really ever been a time during this process where we've kind of said, we've just got to get this done. We don't have time for our principles now. I think we've always, you know, we've always gone by our principles and they matter. Our Zen practice comes first. So we balance the two efforts, the effort to get the job done and the effort to be right here. And that probably could be applied to just about everything we do, not just work. The second slogan is be authentic. And we hear that word authentic a lot. What does Carroll mean by it in relation to work? He's talking about not needing to rely on anything outside of ourselves. Maybe not quite the ordinary use of the word authentic. Not needing to rely on something outside of ourselves in order to have a sense of worth and authority and grounding. So here he's talking about self in a helpful way, the strong self that comes out of practice. And he tells the story of the Buddha touching the earth. That's his exemplar for authenticity. When the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, Mara, this demon, devil-like figure, came and threw all kinds of temptations at him, which the Buddha resisted. And finally, Mara tried to ask the Buddha a simple question, one last attempt to destroy his confidence. So if you become enlightened, who is going to say so? Who will attest to such a claim? Bring me a witness so that you and I can agree, and then I will tempt you no more. So, Siddhartha, who shall be your witness? And you know what the Buddha then did then. Many of you know, he touched the earth. He reached down and he touched the earth. And that's why on many statues of the Buddha, you see his hand like this, touching the earth. And Carroll calls this a gesture of primordial significance, a final and complete gesture that forever conquered Mara and sealed the former prince's awakening as an enlightened Buddha. And I've always been drawn to that image, and I've never been able to understand it logically, really. But if I let go of that attempt to figure it out, it really resonates with me. Carroll says, the Buddha didn't produce a decree from a king or a queen attesting to his realization. He didn't point to a monument with his name on it. He realized that nothing outside of himself could confirm his fundamental self of well-being. By touching the earth, he proclaimed that he was authentically who he was. And we can all do this. We can all be authentic. Carroll says, the Buddhist path seeks to discover an origin, to determine firsthand the original authority within our very person that empowers us with unshakable well-being and gives us the confidence that we are exactly who we are, where we are, with no need of outside confirmation. So this is pretty deep practice. This is the deepest thing. And this applies at work. We may feel pretty dependent on outside confirmation at work, our paycheck, our annual review, a promotion that tells us that we're doing okay or not okay. And that is fine as far as it goes. Those are worthwhile things. But to be really authentic at work, to really come from a place that isn't affected by those worldly winds of praise and blame, we need to rely on our fundamental sense of well-being, to stop imitating who we would like to be and touch the earth of our original authority right here, right now, fully and completely, and acknowledge who we are already. Those are Carroll's words. And what does that look like at work? Well, it's not dramatic. It results in kind of a quiet confidence, what Carroll calls a resting in our natural sense of well-being. People who have this natural sense of well-being don't have to prove themselves. We can just see their original authority. And this applies to all of us. Real authority comes from who we are and what we do. Here at Zen Center, we have a history. We have a sparkly renovated building, which is wonderful, but it's who we are. It's how we relate to our history. It's how we relate to our building now that really counts. And again, it's meditation that brings us in touch with that original self. So I think this is really the deepest thing about our work, that authenticity, that I'm just doing it. I don't have to be measured or rewarded. I'm just present with it. And I know that's enough. And the third slogan is Cultivate Li. So Li, Chinese word spelled L-I, relates to ethics. And it's a word that signified in China any social ritual intended to reveal the natural decency and goodness of being human. So social rituals that reflect our innate tendencies to be kind to each other. And Confucius, around 500 BC, about the same time as the Buddha, saw that Chinese society was burdened with thousands of social rituals that dominated people's lives. And those rules had probably begun for a really good reason. They had begun with Li, but they had become mechanical, and the original Li had been lost. So Li is about the heart of human relations. And the reason for it is not because some outside force calls for it, because it helps us to show our respect for human goodness. And it just naturally arises in little things we do every day. For example, at Zen Center, we're carrying a lot of things around from room to room. And it's just naturally understood by most folks that the person carrying the load gets the right of way. You kind of watch for someone is doing that, and you step out of the way. And no one ever talks about it, but it's really quite instinctual. And that's the kind of politeness, respect, and care that we might see during a retreat. No one tells you to do it, but you get so quieted down and so in tune with the other people that you just have a profound sense of where those other people are in this space, and you want to respect that. So that means you've gone beyond the imposition of rules by an outside source. On the first day of retreat, you might think, well, why do I have to follow all these rules? Why do I have to bow exactly then? Why does it matter that my spoon points this way and not this way? But after a few days with a quiet mind, you can see the respect for others and for things that goes into all of these little rules. And you just do it, and it arises from your heart. And that's Li. What does Li look like at work? A kind of relaxed diplomacy, Carroll says. And here's something interesting. He says that because we are basically considerate, we no longer have to apologize for being tough or straightforward. It's hard to be direct, straight, and straightforward. But he says that if you cultivate Li, you can bring this basic goodness to everything you do. And so it won't be so hard to be direct. You know it's out of goodness. Everyone knows it's out of goodness. And you have that deep confidence. And Confucius suggests that it's from the stillness of contemplation that Li arises. And here we are, back together, some of us back together with each other in the building doing the work. And it's really new in a way. And some people have said to me, it's just strange being back with people. It's really wonderful, but it's kind of strange. And maybe now, as we re-enter, we have a chance to watch our own styles of interacting and our own proclivities and observe what's helpful and observe what's not. Number four, and this one is really important, is entitled, this is the slogan, work is a mess. That's good, isn't it? Because it's true. Work is a mess, usually. And he frames this about being about control. Many of us come to work with the hope that we can control our jobs. And the heart of this, working with this slogan, is just accepting we really can't control our jobs. We can do our best, but we ultimately are not going to be in control. So we don't need to waste a whole lot of energy trying to control the uncontrollable and lamenting when we're not able to control it. Work, by its very nature, he says, is unpredictable and messy, chaotic, and surprising. And unpredictability happens to us every day, and yet we still seem to regard it as a threat or a disaster. Why can't we just accept that that's how work is and that's how life is? It's as if we cling to the fantasy that someday everything will be predictable and controlled if we can just find that magic key. And everything else is kind of an aberration. But unpredictability and lack of control is really our natural state. And I could say sorry here, but actually that's okay. That's okay. It's so much easier if we accept that. We still should try to control things to the appropriate extent, but we don't have to spend so much time suffering when things don't work out. So we control to the extent we can, and we let go when we can't. For example, if I'm mentoring MZMC teachers, someone who's a new teacher, I often say that when you're teaching, you're showing up into a room and you should be really well prepared. You should have a really good plan. And you should also be prepared to alter that plan or even throw out the plan, depending on what you find in the room. Because maybe the room is not what you expected. Maybe you expected all new people and you found a room full of 20-year practitioners or vice versa. Or maybe you expected 8-year-olds and you have 3-year-olds. Or you're prepared to talk about the real basics of spirituality and you find out that your audience is incredibly spiritual already and you're a little humbled by that and you have to alter your plan. So you respond to what's in the room, and that's how you seize the opportunity for effective teaching. What may look like a lack of control can be a means to be resourceful and creative and to try new things. So work is a mess, work is chaos. And we've had plenty of chaos here at MZMC the past few weeks. Things have been piled up everywhere. There has been dust everywhere, workers coming and going, things missing, old things that we've found. It's just a mess. It's great. So much good has come out of all of this chaos. The camaraderie of doing the work and the new ideas, the opening up to new ways of doing things, the giving up of old rigid ideas. I think anyone right now who holds on to a rigid idea of what MZMC should be, no matter what that idea is probably going to be disappointed. So we can not only accept that things are really changing, we can embrace them. We can ride the wave of change instead of trying to stop it. So those are the four. Balance the two efforts, be authentic, cultivate Li, and work is a mess. So now I'd like to just talk a bit about some of the jobs we've been doing at MZMC, just so you know what's going on. And I think this is the fun part. So we're going to fast forward. We're not going to talk about the maybe 10 years of community envisioning and planning or the decision to stay in our building and repair it or the process of developing the plans with the architect or the capital campaign or the months of construction by Flannery Construction, which has been really great, by the way. We're going to talk about the work that we've done just since we were able to get back into the building a bit, which started a few weeks ago in some little bitty increments. And as you probably know, we added a new Zendo, a new library underneath the new Zendo, and new bathrooms. We redid the stucco in the front entrance and a lot of other things. And one thing that happened during construction is that it raised a lot of dust and it just permeated everything, despite efforts to the contrary. People put up plastic and it permeated the plastic. And if we had to do it all over again, we'd probably buy about 50 plastic bins and put everything in there. So we know for next time. So cleaning has been a really big part of the job. So I'm just going to tell you a few things we've done. When I say we, I mean a lot of people. Everyone who has helped really has my gratitude. That includes many of you here. I'm not going to name any individuals because I don't want to leave anyone out. And there are too many folks to list. And it would be so arbitrary to try to find a cutoff point to name like the major jobs and the minor jobs because they're all of equal value. Cleaning the bathrooms is equal in importance to the architectural design. That's really true. So I think we've had, I counted them up, 14 work periods of 2 to 3 hours each, probably between 4 and 12, I don't know, I'd say 3 and 12 people per work period. Some people have done several periods, so I don't know how many people that is, maybe 30, maybe 40. And there's a lot that happened. Maybe I'll talk fast. We pulled everything out of Tim's closet so they could put a new venting system in there to get fresh air throughout the building. And so we had all of these sacred objects kind of stored on the floor. We cleaned and dusted them and his office. We still have to find a place for some of those objects. We did the same with my office, formerly known as Kim's office. The third floor was full of dusty objects that we brought up from other places. We cleaned and sorted all of them. We did an initial cleaning just to get the top layer of dust off of the changing room, formerly known as the library, and the activity room, formerly known as the women's changing room. We cleaned the basement bathrooms and the storage room, and this involved shop vacking the walls and going and the ceilings and the pipes, and then washing the walls and the pipes and scrubbing the floors. We did some work weeding and restoring the walking path. We swept the new library and moved things to it so we could clean other places. We dusted all of those objects first to keep the library a dust-free zone. You have to do all this stuff in sequence. Cleaned and sorted the activity room, cleaned the old laundry room, washed the walls, moved some shelves from the changing room into the laundry room, moved cleaning supplies onto the shelves, moved the copier from the changing room to the old laundry room, now to be known as the copier room. We moved a shelf into the mechanical room for Cheatham supplies. We moved the tech desk to the library. We moved every book, periodical, and CD from the old library to the new library. We moved things to various people's private garages because we don't have a shed yet. We discarded the old paint at the toxic waste site. We washed all the Oryoki. We took care of about 1,000 things that people have dropped off at MZMC over the years, thinking they might be useful. Many of them were not. Please think twice before contributing things to MZMC that you think might come in handy someday. And simultaneously, the tech crew was incredibly busy over a long period of time. There is a project. There was a project making an arch leading to the Zendo out of a maple tree that we removed. And there is a decorative gate that is being built. And of course, all of the office support and the planning. This week, we painted the activity room, washed the walls in the basement hallway. We're preparing to wash the walls in the changing room, set up new offices. We're watering the grass, cleaning the Zafus and Zabutons and bringing them down to the Zendo. We brought the Big Bell up to the Zendo and Katagiri's altar up to the Buddha Hall and prepared the main altar. The Zendo is ready. You should see it. And people have been so willing to help. One of the first days I started out with, I have a really dirty job, and all these hands shot up right away. And we get into a nice rhythm, and there's kind of a community feeling. And I don't want to over-dramatize it, because sometimes it's just tedious work, like, why did I sign up for this? And look what he has me doing. But it feels really good, you know. It's really good, especially after what we've all been through. And there's a lot to do this week. Monday, we're going to have a giant pile of mulch delivered to the driveway, and we'll work on spreading it out in certain areas of the yard on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday, if the air quality has improved enough by then to allow for outside work. And we're going to need several people to wash walls. And of course, we have a lot of smaller jobs. If we have enough people, we need to work on those books in the library and get them in proper order. So we still need a lot of volunteers. We're asking only folks who are vaccinated to volunteer. We won't have that restriction on attending events at Zen Center, but we do have it for the work period. So if you would like to be on that volunteer list, if you're not now getting emails about volunteer opportunities, or you haven't talked to me about this recently, contact me or contact the office and we'll put you on the list and we'll send out a notice. And it looks like we'll have volunteer opportunities this week, Tuesday afternoon, morning and afternoon on Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon. Oh, and also Friday. That's when we're going to probably clean the kitchen. So, and we have a special need for people who enjoy lifting heavy objects. So we need you now.